Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 240. That is 240 episodes of us bringing you the news that Microsofties are pinging each other about. It is once again Mark and Rick here for you.
Nice. Very nice days. You know, we're recording this just before Pi Day.
Yes. This is an interesting weekend. It's Pi Day.
Yes.
It's Friday the 13th, yes. Actually.
Yes. And he forgot his battery charger to charge his battery, so we're hoping his
It'll last fine. It had only a slight amount of time left, and I switched over to battery saver, and I was like, psh, you got plenty of time, you're
nice.
Good. So we didn't have too many comments on the show last week. We did have a conversation on Twitter I wanted to highlight.
Yes.
We say at the end of the episode, feel free to send us a postcard, and we'll get you a nine guy,
mm-hmm.
Which is still true.
Yes.
We might want to have the caveat on that you need to have a postage stamp on said postcard.
So, who was this again?
This is Fads.
Fads?
Fads is what he goes by on the Channel 9.
Yeah.
And we had a nice little conversation on there, which he requested that someone over here invents a Star Trek transporter. I redirected him to Elon Musk's Twitter feed, because I figured that he's doing more of that kind of stuff.
Nice.
And then actually, I retweeted one something Ellen said. Elon?
Yeah.
Yes. The rumor that I'm building a spaceship to get back to my home planet Mars is totally untrue.
Gotta like that.
I don't know how untrue it is.
But I do need to clarify, because there is some preamble to that whole
chatter. I gotta get into this.
About being either TCP or UDP, because because his letter was returned to him.
All I was saying was it was unreliable.
Technically, UDP is unreliable. You don't get delivery, but you also don't get notice that it was delivered.
You wouldn't get
so it wouldn't really be a UDP packet.
TCP would have automatically retried.
Right.
So I guess there's no networking.
Put some kind of handshake
protocol
going on, like
buying a postage stamp.
That would work. That would work too.
But get that to us, and we will get you your nine guys.
Stay tuned to the end of the show to get that snail mail address. As I tried to rattle it off my tongue without making any mistakes. Sometimes it takes three tries. No one sees those because they are on the editing room floor, the virtual editing room floor. We've got a good bunch of stuff to talk about today, so why don't we just get started?
Yeah. New in games this week, we've got two titles to talk about. The first one had some pretty good hype around it. The other one was more of a surprise. The first one is Ori and the Blind Forest.
I'm not familiar with this title.
Which I was excited about for a while. Mm-hmm. It was talked about near the start of the Xbox One generation.
Okay.
It is an exclusive arcade title, I'll say. It's weird. There's nothing really arcade anymore. Just, you can get any game digitally, so
right.
Kind of seeing that way.
Right.
But it is a $20 game, and it is in the Metroidvania genre. So if you're unfamiliar, a 2D platform side-scroller where as you earn additional abilities, you may be able to reach areas that you couldn't get to before. And there's some puzzle solving, there's some platforming concepts, there's a slight RPG element. But the graphics in this game, it's not that the graphics are super realistic. The graphic style is phenomenal. It is, it plays a lot with light. You're in this forest the entire time, thus the title. So there's lots of light coming through. You play this little white creature who kind of crawls around this like enormous environment. It's a fantastic game. It's getting incredible reviews. At one point, it had a 90 on Metacritic.
Yeah.
I think it may have settled at around 89 or so. It's still first week, so that'll move around a little bit.
Yeah, like right now it's saying it's coming as a 9.5 out of 10
for this
particular review engine that's there.
So I think we linked over to Destructoid for this, which has a collection of reviews. The soundtrack is another thing I will highlight is fantastic, that's available on Xbox Music as well as iTunes and
do they have a rating on
places.
This one? A rating for this guy? Do you know what it is?
Rating for?
Like, is it teen, everyone?
Oh,
is
that's
it,
a good question.
I'm assuming it's probably a teen or something like that, just because.
I don't know. Well, I'll plug it down in the notes, so I'll look at it after.
Okay.
I've only got to play about an hour and a half of it so far. My schedule has been a little hectic, but it's fantastic. It's great. I love the genre, but again, like just to sit there and watch the story as it unfolds, it's very clever and very well done. So, Ori is available. For those fans of ours who are in Austria, because never let anyone tell us that we're only US-centric.
Right.
You have an exclusive opportunity to get a Ori and the Blind Forest Xbox One bundle. This is Austria only. The lead game designer is Austrian.
Yep.
So they have a unique ability. And then it's a €399 bundle. And you can go to the Xbox One store page, and they'll direct you to available retailers. And then you get a great game to kick off your Xbox One generation with. So that's the first of them. The second one is a game that kind of came out of nowhere. I was following it a little bit. It's called Cities Skylines. It's in an interesting genre, which is the city builder game. So mm-hmm. one that SimCity pretty much was the only game in for, I don't know,
forever.
2 decades. The last SimCity came out was in 2013, which is 2 years ago already. Mm-hmm. And so there have been a couple other games in the genre. This one, Cities Skylines, published by Paradox and developed by Colossal Order, sold 250,000 copies in the first 24 hours, including pre-orders.
Which platform is this for?
This is for PC.
So it's PC-based.
Actually, I believe there was a day one Linux option available as well. I don't remember if it's available on Mac as well. It's on Steam.
Yeah.
That's where I got it. It's available on other retailers as well. Prices ranging somewhere between the $22 to $30 range. So again, not a full retail priced game, we'll say, that $60 price point.
And just out of curiosity, is this one of those things where you have to go off and, like, you know, farm blueberries for six months to be able to
this
get 10 points?
This is not a Ville game.
Okay,
this is a city
those drive
game.
Me so, freaking insane.
This is, I haven't seen any DLC or any add-on packs. There's a modding engine, so you can go in and do modding. I think there's a sandbox mode, but I'm still, like, building. My city has, like, 12 or 13,000 people in it right now. But you start from scratch, you build. There's no, like, giant monsters that come down and try to harm city. It's a very just tranquil, let me build my giant sprawling city. I've gotten to open up additional, I think at first you're in a
You're
in a 2 kilometer by 2 kilometer square, mm-hmm. which is a fairly decent size. And then you can open up additional ones on either side of your city. So you can go like 6 to 6 kilometer, which
that's cool.
Is like,
it's a lot of miles.
It's miles. Anyway, those are two of the games that I picked up recently that I have been having a ton of fun with.
So now I gotta think about this one because gaming PCs in my house are rather limited these days.
I don't know.
So if it's only PC based, they're not gonna work too well.
Yeah.
For my kids, because my kids have been asking me about going for a sim game recently. Mm. So
we've got one for the console there, one for PC. You can try them both out. And you were just saying you picked up Scream Ride.
I picked up Scream Ride. So I went to the store and picked that one up. It's quite nice. I honestly have not had a chance to even play it yet.
However,
busy I've been.
However, gotten some playtime.
My son and my daughters have played it, and they definitely are having a lot of fun with it.
I'll say it's one of those games that, like, because you're just on a roller coaster, like, zooming around, it's just, it's hard not to have fun.
Tony Stark.
Interesting guy.
When you see tweets coming along from the Mr. Robert Downey Jr. and talking about Tony Stark as a natural comparison, because he recently went off and visited a young boy, I believe he was about 7 years old or so, named Alex Pring, who was born with a partially developed right arm. Mm-hmm. And he is the recipient of one of the new 3D printed arms or artificial limbs that were created as part of the collective project. It was a contest or an environment, a collaborative environment designed by the Microsoft OneNote team to be able to try to go off and to highlight and spotlight students that are trying to change the world. In this case, it is Albert Manero. Monero?
Sure.
That basically is a PhD student in mechanical engineering at University of Central Florida who's going to, and he's founded a company that's called Limbitless. I love the name. Limbitless. Which has a goal of basically printing 3D arms for kids that are in need for around $350, which is a fraction of the cost of what a full-size actual limb costs.
I don't know offhand what a limb would cost. I'm assuming it's a lot more than that. And the fact that it's 3D printed means that you can make personal adjustments and still have that price, which is absolutely insane.
So basically, Robert Downey Jr. got involved in the whole picture because he read a blog post or was pointed out to a blog post that Microsoft wrote about the project and about the collective project. And he wanted to get involved with actually delivering the limb to the 7-year-old. And then there was some, you know, tweets and some videos that were created about it. And end result, awesome pairing and visibility as far as Tony Stark, a.k.a. Robert Downey Jr., talking to this child and then delivering this freaking 3D printed Marvel.
I had seen some tweets from Robert Downey Jr. He brought his Iron Man arm him. So there's photos of the two of them with their artificial arms.
That is cool.
And I thought it was really awesome. I had no idea Microsoft had a hand in it. So
it's kind of a roundabout connection.
Oh, absolutely.
It's enough to cover the content quality for this show.
But that's fantastic to see a company like Limitless exist and do this kind of stuff.
Yep.
I think it's great that Robert Downey Jr. got involved. That's kind of good news all around. The newest edition of the Microsoft News Stories People's... I never know what to call this.
I just think it's a really cool blog.
Yes, no, it's fantastically done, like, website-wise, and it's really great content, too. Anyway, this edition of the series covering people at Microsoft focuses on designers, which don't often get a whole lot of spotlight at Microsoft. I think they're taken for granted quite often, but... especially in this age where we are moving more and more towards hardware, it's important. But there's also key software stuff that's involved as well. The four start off with Kat Holmes, speaking of software and hardware kind of combining, who is a design director in operating systems and was one of the key people in designing Cortana. Now, Cortana is our personal assistant, and she talks quite a bit in here in detail about how not to make it creepy like this fake person. But not cold, just like this interface behind a pane of glass.
Right.
And there's a balance there, and it actually draws parallels to the Spike Jonze film Her, where the guy has a relationship with his computer. Like, she said that the trailer first came out while they were designing, and they're like, it's kind of cool and kind of creepy. Like, we want to do this, but we don't want to ending up being this kind of weird connection. So, really cool talk about behind kind of the influences and curiosities that led to that kind of design.
Another one was Jonah Sterling, a gentleman that's in charge of a team of 30-odd designers that actually work on the design of and the UX experience of Azure, which is kind of cool. I say it's, you know, so we've gone from a piece of software that's on a phone device and also going to be included in Windows 10 to now looking at Azure as a service solutions. And I never really thought about this, but like when you go to the management portal, it's changed a number of times.
Oh gosh, yeah, from the Silverlight, Silverlight one to manage the new portal, the side-scrolling kind of one.
And so he's the lead of the team that's looking after that. He comes from a background of working with the Seattle Academy of Arts and Sciences, which is very, very cool. But he actually holds down inside Building 44, which is probably influenced a bit by his team's design because it's like cool kind of retro leather couches and stuff like that as well. So I did an interview in there once for some guys, and that was kind of cool. But he's responsible overall for the learning experience of what it's like, trying to basically have emotional attachments to the icons, the experiences, how to do stuff, and everything else inside the Azure portal experience.
Absolutely. The third one is Yunku Yu, who is a creative director on the devices team, now back onto the hardware side, where design is probably more expected from consumers. But he is one of the designers behind HoloLens, which is our new holographic computing device. He has done stuff around other devices. He comes from outside Microsoft, having done lots of art installations, but also product design. And his philosophy is all about simplicity and bringing things to pure, meaningful, and functional status. Mm-hmm. So he talks about a humidifier and how humidifiers they were shaped like appliances because they are appliances. But he made one that's in the shape of a bottle. So you place it over like a bottle and put water in there, and then it just looks simple and out of the way and still is functional.
That's cool.
He talks a little bit more about some of the devices he made that were a combination of like China and LEDs or a cappuccino mug with LEDs in it that give you a sense of when you had the correct temperature for your drink. So lots of functionality and simplicity built into the same thing there, which is kind of a beautiful thing to strive for and very difficult to hit.
And how can you not talk about design without mentioning the Surface, obviously?
Sure.
It's one of the ones that we're talking about. And one of the guys that was involved with the Surface design as senior creative director is Ralph Gorin. Is actually a gentleman from Germany. And they have an interesting part of the story about how he got into his first design or access into the program for university, where he actually spent his life savings at that point on a fax machine. So he could actually fax back and forth with the admissions to be able to convince them that he was avant-garde to be able to go off and to be able to attend. So rather interesting backstory on how he got into that. And he came to Microsoft in 2006 and got started when, in 2006, we did a lot of stuff with keyboards and mice.
Yeah.
And so that's how we kind of got started and then brought over to the Surface team. And they're saying how, you know, the Surface design and any kind of design reflects the people that worked on the team.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if someone can make a design for a hinge that, like, opens like that, it's got to be a German. The level of precision is just awesome.
I would say if you're looking for advice to how to get into the field or how to get into Microsoft, don't buy a fax machine.
No, I wouldn't recommend
it. Or don't spend your life savings on it. Not anymore. That was a timely decision.
Same thing goes for teletype machines and card punches.
Unless you're starting a museum.
Yeah, that's true. From the beer desk. I just wish there actually was a beer desk. That'd be good.
There can be after the show.
Well, you know, we could do that. I guess, yes, actually, the... interesting.
Yes. From the beer desk.
From the beer desk. we love our Kickstarter projects, the kind of cool things that are going on with the Kickstarter world. And there's one that actually has just already doubled its pledge goal of 75K, which is one that's known as the Juggernaut / Kegerator.
Two components.
Kegulator by Drink Tanks. The concept of being the world's largest growler and personal keg. Now, we talked earlier about UKEG a number of episodes ago.
Yes.
I was so interested, I actually went off and bought one. So I backed it, and I get to pick mine up in June. This one's actually kind of cool because I've seen these guys before. They make really good double-wall insulated growlers to be able to keep your stuff cold for 24 hours, which is good. And they basically modded it and shopped it up so that it actually has now a CO2 monitoring and delivery system at the top. And it has a spout pouring capability as well to be able to pour off your pints.
So to be specific, the Juggernaut is the large growler, right. Double-walled insulated aluminum.
Yeah.
The Kegulator is the top that goes on.
Is the top that goes on top of it. It's a modded top that has a downspout to pour to grab from the bottom. It has CO2, 16 gram CO2 cartridge,
right.
And then it has a serving hose that goes on top of it to complete the whole thing. And these guys are based out of Oregon, and they happen to have a beautiful array of different options of different levels of sponsorship packages, one of which is obviously showcasing the fact that they can do some really cool color designs with powder coating.
I was going to say, I see an orange one on there.
Yep, orange one is definitely very good. Definitely don't want to get the green one because it would merge in with their green screen in the back. And a whole bunch of different types of packs. So if you're looking to try to keep your beer cool and you enjoy the craft or homebrew of being able to fill up growlers, this is a definite option because there's... a growing demand for larger and better ways of being able to share your craft beer.
Awesome. Mercedes recently revealed one of their self-driving cars or automated cars. It's is noted as a research car. So not even a concept,
not a concept
or anything. It's just something that they're playing with in research.
Okay.
And then they call it the Mercedes-Benz F015 or 015 or 015.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, so it has a couple, I think, novel concepts. So just because self-driving is a thing that several manufacturers have been playing around with.
Yep.
And I think it's an awesome concept. I can't wait to get to stop driving
and just step inside the vehicle and say,
"Car, show up, get
take
in,
me home,
bring somewhere." Yes,
off it goes,
and just go. And I could take a nap in the back, or or do my, you know, work on email or program. There's a couple, I think, novel concept in this one. I was talking to Rick earlier about this, that one of the problems, it's one of these problems that you would never think of with a car, with a self-driving car, until like you actually go out and test it in the field.
Field testing.
Is people don't trust them, yeah. Right? So you get to an intersection and there's a car without a driver, and like, do I go? Do you go? Like, even people have this problem, so when there's no one to talk to.
Right.
The way they solve this is they have a projector in the front.
It's a laser projection system.
That projects... A crosswalk in front of the car, and then they say, like, go ahead, you go first. And I thought that's a really cool concept. It's unambiguous,
it.
Right? Yeah. Like, and I'm assuming they have multiple languages
yeah.
and whatnot.
Is awesome.
The interior is designed around having multiple people sitting and chatting inside the car. So four seats.
So the two seats in the front turn around to be
180 degrees, so you face each other.
Right. And we notice from the picture that it looks like it actually allows you to turn back around the other way just in case you have to drive.
Yeah, there is a steering wheel that almost looks like a flight stick kind of in there.
And then I like at the very back of this, the very bottom of this, they have a visual and acoustic signals for greater safety. basically, think of it like an LED display at the back.
Yeah, like large pixel display.
You know, think of it like a scroll board application. You can put your, you know, back off, buddy, going across the back.
It's a slow, I don't know if there's a programmable or they have
pre-programmed. Oh, you know they're going to hack this. Yeah. You know they're going to hack this.
Yeah, we already did this with Project Detroit.
Yes.
And the inside is like a digital living room. I like the sides are screens, and I think they showed in the video some samples of like picking locations or finding restaurants in your area and just selecting your map. So I thought it was a really cool way. And by the way, the car looks beautiful.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, that's completely subjective.
It's a design R&D car. How can it not look beautiful? But
I think this is more of the direction of where we're going. I'm really excited to see these evolutions of technology. Excited anytime you see multiple companies doing it, because then you know that there's going to be competition, and competition only means like awesome stuff is coming. So
you got it.
Really cool for Mercedes. Good work out there. That wraps up episode 240 of Ping. That is 240 episodes in the cam. Thanks for joining us. As always, we love talking to our followers, our watchers, our pingers.
TCP or UDP or whatever that protocol was.
Preferably TCP, because if you just throw a set off us, we don't know if we got it. You don't know if you got it. We have multiple ways.
You've got the sign today.
Multiple ways of following us. One of them is on hashtag Ping Show on Twitter. You can talk to us individually at Mark DeFalco.
At SignRexterCDN.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/the
Ping Show.
Ping Show.
You got it? Yeah, the Ping Show. That works. And then if you want one of these guys, as we mentioned at the very top of this episode, you can send us snail mail, send us a postcard, put a stamp on it with international postage if you're coming from across the pond. Going to the Ping Show, care of Channel 9, Building 20, 1 Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington, 98052. Question of the week, Ben.
Question of the week. We talked about some of the unusual advances in the Mercedes F015. I think I got that right.
I'm going to say that's impressive. You remember?
What do you think are some other problems that need to be solved and some cool solutions for them? So what other things that you think you can automate there? What other kind of features? What other messages do you want on the back of that car?
I would honestly say user customizable messages on the back. Because I know I have wanted to say a number of blankety blank, beep, beep, beep things to people that are behind me.
I think that if you're not driving, you're just going to be like relaxed and not worry about that.
Could be true. Could be true. I don't know, man. What do you think? What would they be?
Let us know in any one of those ways, or of course, in the comments right below here.
Yep.
And until then, we will see you next time.
Oh. I'm totally off. Oh, yeah.
The long time.